been in China. I've been in five churches in Pakistan, five churches in Jamaica, a church in Haiti, the place that I was going to be a sorcerer in. Have a sister church in Haiti. I've been to Haiti. I went to the same palace to where I was going to work at, where Papa Doc Duvalier was going to use me to be under him, to work under him. I went to that same palace and I stood there back in 1993, and I stood there almost with tears in my eyes and said, God, look how far you brought me from. I went there as a man full of the Holy Ghost, went there. I said, God, you wanted me to come here to my fellow countrymen, but you wanted me to come in here as a Christian. Praise God. And I wish all my fellow countrymen, I give you greetings. Enchanté, mademoiselle. It's sure. Umoy Remeu. To all of you out there, I love all of you in Haiti. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. No care what they say about Haiti. God can bless you in Jesus' name. But here I stood there at that altar. I stood there and I threw my hands up. And that pastor told me everything that I had done. I said, how do you know all this stuff about me? He said, you are a criminal. You are a thug. You ran numbers. You saw people killed. You put curses on people and they died. You did this. You ran drugs, cocaine. You're in the heroin trade. You're in the this and the that. Prostitution. You did this. You handled that. I said, how you know all this stuff? You don't know me. You ain't from New York. You don't know me, man. But I heard the spirit inside of God start saying, don't start arguing. Don't argue and debate. Receive me. Don't get into an argument with him. Don't. He's not here to hurt you. He's not somebody in the streets that's trying to hurt you. He's not your enemy. Not a rival. He's working for me. So you need to be saved right now. And I told God, so hold it. Hold it, hold it, hold it, God. You know me, I'm a straight shooter. I tell you straight. You know I'm a sorcerer. I do bad things to people and they die. Very bad. Do witchcraft. Do witchcraft. Can cut a person down to witchcraft. Never have to shoot him. Just do words and signs and trinkets and spells and bewitchment and can mess their minds up. I said, I've done those things. And I've done them for the devil. And I don't apologize for those things, because that's what my lifestyle is. If I didn't do it to them, they're going to do it to me. And I stood there on that altar. And I said, God, if you really want me, and you know how bad things I do, you want to have to use me more for you than the devil used me in them streets. And I heard God speak back to my spirit. He said, I will do more than you can even imagine. And that's when he showed me another vision of me talking to people. Ministering to people, people on drugs, people who are prostitutes, the pimps, the drug addicts, the heroin addicts, the suicidal people, the rich people. Because when you're dealing a lot of drugs, you run with the rich and the poor, white and black. But we didn't have no color problem. We ran with all. You'd be surprised who bought drugs from us. You would be surprised if I told you the colors of people that bought drugs, that were hooked on drugs. Of course, I would never say anything like that. Their names or nothing, but there's people from all colors and backgrounds that have been involved with that kind of lifestyle. And I said, God, if you really want me, you know what kind of person I am, that I will work for you for the day I, to the day I die, I'll work hard. I'll get souls saved. I'll fight the devil for you if that's what you want. I personally don't see nothing good in me, but maybe you see something more than I do, because I don't see nothing good in me. As I stood there at that altar, I can hear my ex-girlfriend hollering. Say, you're going to get that Jesus stuff, aren't you? You're going to get that Jesus stuff anyway. And I tuned her out. And I said, God, if you're the one that brought me through all of this, I accept you right now. I threw my hands up. Ooh, wow, it felt like a mountain of trash and junk and everything fell off of me. My countenance changed, my heart changed, my feelings about people changed, my hatred I had for my daddy and all of his men that, and all of his witches and all of that stuff. He left me. I threw my hands up and I started speaking in tongues. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Stuff started falling off of me. I haven't seen that girl from that day to this, December 15th, back in 1971, so I haven't seen her. I don't know if I wouldn't know her if I saw her riding a unicycle down the street. I wouldn't know what she looked like. But I know God has blessed me. He saved me. He came in, filled me with His Spirit. I got so hungry. Like we say in Connecticut, I got so hungry for the things of God. I became a junkie almost in a good way. I said, God, I got to learn everything about you. I got to find out more about this Jesus and this Holy Ghost. I started telling people about, I mean, I would talk to people. I would run down the street, chase people down to tell them about Jesus. I started passing out tracts. I started coming to church. I would be there every time the door was open. I was so hungry for the Word of God. I wanted to know everything about God. I wanted to go find that old Bible off the coffee table and start reading that thing. Of course, I didn't know where it was, but I just wanted a Bible. So I got somebody that gave me a Bible, didn't have a front cover or a back cover. And some of Genesis was missing and some of Revelation was missing, but all in between I was reading it. I didn't quite figure out whether if thou not, one if thou, who if thou, what if thou, what. But I know I was reading it. I started wherever I could start. And I would go to sleep with that Bible in my chest. I would just read and speak in tongues and praise God. And God started doing something for me. I started growing in the things of God. Started getting so hungry for Him. And I'm still hungry for Him. I can't go all day without praising Him. I can't go all day without getting on my knees and pray and seeking Him. Now what I'm doing, I'm praying for my children. I'm praying for them that God will call them to ministry, do great things for them, take them up, and use them in a mighty way. God has blessed me with a good wife. And you know, God has a sense of humor, too. Now watch this. He has a sense of humor. Now, I was involved with tons of drugs, tons of it. I mean, all kinds of stuff from all over the place, as far away as in South America and stuff like that. We were dealing some very bad stuff from very bad areas of the world. And God put me together with my wife, Selena, who worked in the law enforcement. God got a sense of humor. And I don't mean just a regular police department. I mean serious law enforcement in Washington, D.C., a place that I'm telling you, it's a serious branch of law, the government. And here it is. God takes me, a most illegal young man I knew back on the East Coast, pushed me together with a person that worked in Washington, D.C., and with one of those departments of the law, I put us together. We've been married for 26 years. And then some people said, oh, that's impossible. You can't stay with a man like that. He's got too bad of a background. God don't want you to be with nobody like that. Get you somebody that's just like you, you know. But God put us together. I prayed for a wife like her. She prayed for a husband like me with the heart that we both had for each other. And God did it. And November 21st, 1981, we said, I do. We said, y'all's the bosses, and sure enough, and all of those kind of great things, and God has blessed us. And we ministered now in Hollywood, California, in Hollywood. And there's all kinds of people out there in Hollywood. They got the runaways, they got the witchcraft people, the sorcerers, they got those that practice the golems, and all those different things. And the people with the rooster haircuts and the actors and the actresses and folks that shoot heroin, cocaine, all of those things. And God placed me right there in the midst of it. And I know why, because I understand them. I had some gang members come up to me one time. I went to help somebody preach a funeral. And they came up to me and they called me Reb. They said, Reb, You don't, how you understand to talk to us? You don't understand street life. You ain't never been through nothing. I started laughing at him. I said, man, let me show you. Let me pull up. Let me take this coat and tie off. Let me show you something, man. Let me tell you something. You ain't got a clue. Just because you can hop in the car and drive by and shoot somebody, you ain't no gangster. That ain't no gangster, man. I said, we fought hand-to-hand combat. We fought with knives. We fought, man. We did some things that when you were still in diapers, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. I told him, only God can bring me out of that lifestyle, which is 1,000 times worse than you just hopping in the car and shooting somebody. I said, if he can bring me out of that stuff, surely he can bring you out of it. And here you standing around this graveside, pouring out a 40-ounce of malt liquor down on top of his gravesite, showing your homage and your respect to your fallen homie, your buddy, your cohort. You're doing this. You don't have a clue of what that boy is going through right now. He died without Jesus. You ain't got a clue. You call yourself a gangster. If you knew what was waiting for you, if you didn't have Jesus when you died, you would stop it right now. I mean, you would stop it, and that's my job to tell you. So I talk to these youngsters. I tell them, I was a thug. I was a criminal. I've been involved with stuff. I didn't drive by and shoot at nobody. If I was to shoot you, I'd shoot you right in your head, in your face. You call yourself a thug. You need to repent for saying you're a thug. You ain't no thug. You need to repent. Stop this foolishness. You're working for the devil. The devil is using you to kill each other and fill hell up. The Bible says hell is enlarging itself every day. Enlarging itself because you're shooting each other. And for what? Over some turf? You don't even pay taxes. You don't even own it. Repent, man, before the devil takes your soul and it's a trap and a trick. He's trying to stop your heart. And a bullet will stop your heart. It is faster than overdose will stop it. And so many of these youngsters isn't shot. And they listen because they realize that I can show them the scars and I can talk to them, talk their language. I may talk from a different part of the country, but still, they understand. You know, it's about rebellion a lot. I'm just hurting. I understand about being in battle. I understand when I'm having a dad in your corner. Be in the same house with him, but he ain't in your corner. I can relate to him. I understand what it's about. I know what it's like to have a whole lot of money, throw dollar bills away. I understand how it is to be out there high rolling. But the best high rolling is the world is a high roll with Jesus. You can't get no higher than that. You can't high roll no higher than that. I thank God that he spared me so I can tell these youngsters. You talking about huffing? You want to huff it? All of these chemicals up your nose, I did that when I was 4 years old. It ain't changed. It's still the same spirit trying to get you to have a failure in the heart. He's trying to stop your heart. If he stopped your kidneys, you can last a while without kidneys. You take a dialysis or lungs, or iron lung, all those things. But if he stops your heart, you're out of here. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to stop your heart. You got parents out there who are dealing with children on drugs, dealing with children in sorcery and witchcraft, voodoo, dealing with people who are in the new age. I want to pray for you right now. You're dealing with a disobedient, rebellious child, those that used to be safe. Some of them are in the church and left because certain things happened inside the four walls, and it got hurt. We're going to pray that God will fix that whole situation so they can come back and hear the word, because time is short. Jesus is coming soon. So if you're a mother out there right now and you want prayer for your family, I want to pray with you right now. It worked for my mother. You say, well, that's your mother. You know, that's your mother. Your mother is special. What's special about my mother is that she loves you. She believes you. You're just as special as her if you do the same thing. God's no respecter of persons. My mother didn't go to college and learn how to do this. She didn't go to Yale. Yale was right around the corner. She didn't go to Yale to learn how to do this. She went to her knees, and God showed her how to supplicate for her sons and daughters. So, listen to me right now. I'm going to pray for you. That son, that daughter, involved with a lot of illegal things. If they knew how dangerous it was, before I pray, to get into bed with somebody you're not married to, if I can just sit down with every young person or older person, a middle-aged person, and tell them the dangers of unmarried sex. There's some things out there in the invisible realm that is worse than AIDS. Right in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, God himself talks about these things. They're right there in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. If you knew exactly how deadly it was, or is, for you to climb in the sack with somebody you're not married to, you would never, ever, never do it again. You're sexually active. You don't have a clue what you are dealing with. And it's right there in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. It's right there. It's been there for all these many years, ever since the Bible has been placed together, the books have been placed together, sitting right there. But the enemy is getting on the billboard saying, hey, look at this scripture. Here, you'll get delivered from there. Here, stop having this sex. It's illegal. He knows that if you read that scripture, you understand what he's talking about. I'm writing a book out. It's called Death by Bed. Everything that happens to a person when they have sex outside of marriage. It would literally change. If everybody in Hollywood was to read what happens to them when they have sex outside of marriage, I guarantee this whole system in Hollywood, this illicit system, was shut down if they knew and really understood what this was and was willing to turn around. Because some people know stuff, they're still not willing to turn. They say, okay, I know it's going to kill me, I'll do it anyway. Well, that person is foolish. But I'm talking about somebody that really want to change their lifestyle, really want to live right before God and know what they're doing, willing to repent. If they read what it says in Ezekiel, the 16th chapter, and understood what God was talking about, they would repent right now, stop this, and wait on God to give them a saved husband or wife. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you right now for every mother and father that's out there. God, just like my mother stood in the gap for me, she made up the hedge. She literally prayed me out of hell. I mean hell. And God, I thank you for each mother there that's listening. Be there on the East Coast, West Coast, South Africa, wherever this broadcast is being heard. God, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the mother. Lift up your head. Don't stop. Don't stop. Your prayers are being heard by God himself. Lord, I thank you for every mother. I thank you, Lord, that you are closing the gap. And it's getting closer and closer to getting saved. It seems like the more they pray, the worse they get, because the devil knows He knows that he has only a short time with your child, and he's trying to do a diversion to make you think that it's not working, but it's working, because it's going above the devil's head, and it's going onto God's lap, and God has trillions and billions of angels working on your side. That's right. He got billions of angels on our side. The devil got some, but we far surpasses him and his little group. Amen. He didn't take them all. We still got the greater number. Oh, yeah. So, Father, bless you. Bless you. In the name of Jesus, all the parents out there who are saved, got children, that's going all different kinds of ways, is messing with drugs and witchcraft and cutting themselves with razors and things like that, bloodletting. Bloodletting didn't work back in the Dark Ages, and it ain't going to work now. That's a demonic ritual from the pits of hell. Paul said, do thyself no harm. Father, those that are doing themselves harm, God, save them. Touch them in the name of Jesus. It worked for me. I was the lowest of the lowest, God. Even criminals didn't want to run with me. That's how low I was. But look where you brought me. Hallelujah. Look where you brought me, God, because of prayers. And I know that you mean everything you say in your word, and you will bring them out. I rebuke that spirit of death that's trying to take them out, God. That suicide spirit. Spirit that caught up in a homosexual and a lesbian lifestyle. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, you set them free from that. That's not your plan. You never did say for the men to be with each other like that. Leaving the natural use of a woman and burning in their own lust, as it says in the Bible. God, set them free, God. That's how evil spirit got those people like that. And I don't back down what I'm saying. That's from the pits of hell. That's the Bible says. They go astray from God. As soon as they be born, estrangement from God. In the name of Jesus, that's all that is. And God set them free. We bless you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Bless God. I'm so happy to have this time. I know that many people out there, God, family members, you will be so delighted that you held on and kept praying, that you didn't quit. I know. My mom is still alive, and she's so happy that her son, she called me Earthquake, but her Earthquake is preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. If my mom hears this, bless you, Mom. She's down there in Tucson, Arizona. If it goes that way, bless you. I love you for what you did for me and for my other brothers and sisters. Because of you, we're all that alive. They're preaching the gospel, ministering in churches, evangelists, traveling the world. Hallelujah. Bless God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, brother. We got a few minutes left. I'm wondering if you'd like to share the story about your brain aneurysm and when you went to heaven.
Oh, yes, yes. Don't want to forget that. 2004, I was at church. I preached the message, and my wife was still at work, so my sister, who was living with us at the time, and I, we went to a restaurant, and we got something to eat. We ordered the food, and I felt like somebody was pouring coffee in my head from behind. But I knew the waitress wouldn't do that. It was like it was warm coffee. Looked around, and my sister said, the same sister that told me I need to be saved, now this is 30-something years later. She's still around. You know, still telling me good things about Jesus. And great lady. She's over in Jamaica right now, ministering in Jamaica. We have five churches there now, so she's there. And praise God, getting souls saved over there in Jamaica, Kingston, and what have you. And I told her, I said, something's wrong. I feel like some warm sensation is happening. What it was, that warm sensation, was the blood vessels that burst in my head. And that was the blood that I felt. I didn't know it at the time. And I said, well, let's go home. So she took me home, and as I sat on the edge of the bed, it got worse. It felt like my head was catching on fire. It was so hot. Wow, it was so hot. And then it felt like somebody was punching me in the head with their fist, and I know what that's like. And I said, but I didn't see anybody, but I can feel the presence of evil around me. I said, uh-oh, I know what this is. So I called my wife, and I told her, I said, baby, something's wrong with my head. I'm having a bad headache. She said, well, I'm going to take you to the hospital when I get home. I said, no, let me sleep on it. And if it doesn't go away, you know, then I'll go to the hospital. It got worse, and they finally convinced me to go to the hospital. When I got to the hospital, they laid me out on the examination room in the ER. And as I laid there, I got so sick that I died on the table. And they took the refrigerators out, and they start saying all those things and scratching those things together and hitting my chest and banging me. And they came back, and they put me in intensive care, and they watched me round the clock. And I didn't know I had a brain aneurysm. I just thought it was a bad headache from my old boxing match, because I used to box professionally, or a wrestling match or something. I used to wrestle after I retired from boxing. I started wrestling professionally, and I thought it was maybe one of those little things. And so they put me in intensive care, and after about 2 or 3 days of being there, my head was like 400 degrees, felt like my blood pressure was 200 over 200. And I laid there praising God, and not wondering what's happening, but it was an attack of the enemy again. And as I lay there praising God, I saw this big, golden, beautiful, I don't know what it was, came in the room, and it settled at the bed. So angelic-looking thing. And I died again, because the doctor said that you were going to die again, because what you're sick with, nobody lives past 2 days. And so I died again, and I find myself standing next to an angel, and I'm 6'5", and the angel was at least 7'5", 8 feet tall, and he was covered in gold flakes. His head was just awesome, awesome. The guy was decked out, and I'm telling you, it was awesome. And I looked, and I saw the grass looked like it was so well manicured, and each blade had a diamond and or a jewel or emblem in it, and it was moving like it was just praising God. And I walked along the water, and I saw, it looked like liquid diamonds, and coming out of this big golden palace, I saw the angel sing, like, nothing I've ever heard. The voices, I love good singing and good choirs, but those angels, they beat any singers or choirs on this planet all put together. I saw some awesome things. And as I kept walking along that crystal river that looked like liquid diamonds, I saw, looked across there and I saw some of the saints. Oh, I actually went to their homegoing services. Some people don't like to say funerals in the church, but went to their funerals. And there I saw them on the other side of that river, and I cried out to them, and they cried out to me, and they said, wow, it's really you. And it was them. So I said, to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, and I died in an intensive care from a brain aneurysm there.
My focus is not on paradise.
It was so beautiful. Oh, and God said, eyes have not seen, neither ear heard, neither is the internet to the hearts of men, and things that God has in store for them that love him. And I'm telling you, there's so many great things that are there. I just, it just takes 10,000 years to tell 1% of it. It's just so awesome. You really don't want to leave once you see paradise. There's so much more. I don't know how we're doing on time, but it's much more, and maybe some other time I can tell you the rest of it.
I think we got about 4 minutes left, but we can go over if you want.
Well, as I walked along the river, I looked on the other side, and I saw some children running and playing. And I said, wow, children running, having a great time. I wanted to go over there. I didn't feel any pain. I wasn't hurting anymore. The brain aneurysm that stopped me. And this is where I heard God's voice. He said, you wonder who those children are, right? I said, yes. He said, now you stop me when I run out of time. He said, those children died from wars. They were in the war zone. They were killed. Some were murdered. Some were left for dead. And many other horrible atrocities that happened on the planet. He said, but they're with me now, and they can never be hurt again. I said, wow, look at that. It was just awesome to see that. Then 2-3 months prior to that, my nephew Gary, in that year, 2004, same year I had the brain aneurysm, was riding his bicycle, and a man ran him over and killed him. And he was 10 years old. And I looked for Gary, but I didn't see him. But I knew for a fact that he was there. If any plan was being done, that Gary would be there, playing with the rest of them. And then I saw another group of children, and I heard God say, you see that group right there? I said, who is that group? He said, those children I sent to planet Earth, and they were aborted and sent back. I said, oh, my God. And I could hear his voice start to change. It sounded like God was crying. I said, God, wait a minute. You being God, you can stop yourself from crying, but it's not like that. He hurts. Because he had a plan for each one of those children. And he told me because of the hardness of man's heart and the sin and the carelessness spirit, and I could care less what God thinks, they went and aborted them and sent them back. And God hurts. I said, oh, my God, I didn't know it was like that with you. He said, oh, yes, I had a plan for them. And he showed me, long story short, he showed me another group of children I was playing. And he says, I said, who was that group right there? And he said, those are the group of children I sent to the homes of so-called church people who listened to the ways of the world, would not trust me, would not believe that I could provide for another mouth to feed. They went and secretly went and had an abortion and sent those children back. And that's when I felt that God was about to break loose emotionally. I said, oh, my God, I didn't know it hurt you like that. Then he said about how they changed the name of an unborn baby to the word fetus. And after this episode happened to me, I looked up that word. And that word is the Greek mythology. It's a horrible word, that word fetus. Should never even be put next to a baby, most less call him that. Now, these things hurt God. They hurt him. I remember when Paul was talking about when he had an experience in paradise. He went to the third heaven, and things he saw and heard, I could definitely identify with that. It's a beautiful place. And he also said, rather than he wanted to stay or not, but for the sake of the gospel, he decided to come and finish the mission. As I was there in paradise, and I got there, I was walking around, and I saw some of the Christians, the brothers and sisters who had passed on years before that I knew, and they saw me and I saw them, and they were on the other side of this beautiful river, and I was trying to get onto the other side, but I couldn't get over there, and they said, your time is not yet. And after I saw that last group of children who God told me had, he sent to churches around the world, and because they listened to the ways of the world and not believing in God will provide, they went and secretly had an abortion and sent the babies back. I remember I was in Nashville and back in June at a meeting, and a minister got up and he said, I have to confess something to each one of you here. It's about 50,000 people there at this sports arena. And he says, I took my wife. I'm a pastor of a nice-sized church, and I didn't want no more children. And I took my wife, and I made her have an abortion. Needless to say, it just tore up the whole meeting. And God had shown me that before I even got there, that there were people who in the church were secretly having an abortion. And God also showed me that there's ministers who want to save face, to keep themselves looking good in the eyes of the church and the public, who have sons and daughters, especially daughters, who have gotten pregnant out of wedlock. And to keep his good name, God showed me these ministers going and having their daughters have an abortion, even though they're pastors of churches. They don't want anybody to think that something like that could happen to them as a pastor. So they've gone and they've saw to it that their daughters had an abortion, just like the other pastor saw to it that his wife had an abortion. And these things hurt God. And I could hear the changing in his voice, that he was so sad about these things. And he said, I want to show you some other things. He said, there are people who are holding things against me, unforgiveness against God, because God didn't move the way he wanted them to move, or he didn't give them what they wanted as fast as they wanted it, or someone they prayed for that was really sick, and they believed that they should have lived and should have gotten healed, but instead they died, and now they're holding things against God. And God told me, I'm sending you back with a message to tell them that this unforgiveness towards me will never prove to better them. It will only make them worse in life. And until they remove that away from me, I cannot bless them to have the things that they wanted in life. He said, because if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven, especially when you hold the things against the creator of the universe, who has never sinned at any time. Then there's so many people, even so many people listening to this broadcast, you may be guilty of that, holding things against God because he didn't give you what you wanted when you wanted it. And God is saying, until you remove that, you won't go anywhere. You'll be stuck right there where you are. And he doesn't want you stuck. He wants you free, delivered. Man, he showed me other things. He showed me that there was going to be a flood that was going to hit a major city, and over 1,000 people were going to be killed. They're going to drown in their homes before they can even get out. And he showed me that because of their witchcraft and their rebellion and their sin, constantly forgetting him and getting involved with a lot of voodoo and different things of that nature, and it'll cause an untimely death. And he showed me that big wave going out from that levee. He showed me. And that's what happened. He showed me New Orleans before it hit. And I already saw it, and it's documented, 100% documented in the book before it even hit. And he said, because of that, sin is abounding so in this country. He said, there's this judgment going to hit this country. He said, they're moving me out, son. They're moving me out. And he said that sin is moving in. He told me to tell him the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. And he said there are some preachers who are only preaching for fame and money, who are having sex, unmarried sex, who have wife and many lovers. He said they're doing, and some are even going male and male and female and female. And he said until they repent, He said that many of them are going to die in the pulpit, the very same place that they're doing their sin out of. He said, I'm going to remove my breath from their bodies. And so far, a few have already died in the pulpit. He said, I've given them many chances to repent of their whoredom and their homosexuality and bisexuality. He said, but many of them won't repent. He said, tell them to repent. He said, I'm sending you back with a message to tell these ministers who are only preaching for financial gain, who cares less about my people, but are only after their own wallet, who have a wife and many lovers. He said, tell them that I said to repent, and so I'm doing that. He said, tell them who have things against me to take that unforgiving spirit towards me away, and I'll bless their ministry, I'll bless their marriage, I'll bless their finances. He said, tell them who repent are only preaching the money, but not preaching after my gleaning of souls. He said, tell them to repent. And he showed me many things. He showed me that there's ministers who are trying to get rid of their wives, who are in the background, who don't have a fiery song or a fiery message. They're trying to get rid of her somehow so they can marry a woman who could preach and sing and run up and down the aisles. And God said, that's not my plan. Tell them, I said, that's not my plan for a man to leave his wife and get another wife because she can minister or sing. He said, tell them to repent. He said, judgment is coming upon this country, America. It's coming upon the whole planet, but it's just going to start really bad in America. And those airplanes flying in that building is just the beginning. He said that the water supply is going to dry up in many places. It's not going to have enough water to go around. He showed me one woman and three men, cell groups in this country, coming in and not coming in with the way you think. They're being shuffled in here and by other sources, and they're here now in this country waiting to go forth and do what they plan to do for years because of the hatred they have for this country. And this country used to be a God-fearing country, and now they've taken it down. They're removing all the things. They won't even say Christmas. They'll say Happy Holidays. They're removing everything that has any semblance to God at all. They're trying their very best to take God out. And he said, warn them to repent. Warn them. He said, I'm sending you back to warn them. He said, go to the churches. He said, I'm sending you to the churches and to the leaders to tell them to repent of their chasing after things. You cry out to the porch and the altar. He said, I'm sending you back. And I told him, I said, God, I don't want to go back. I want to stay. He said, you must go back. You have to go back with a warning. And I said, well, Father, who am I? Well, they won't listen to me. I'm not a big-time famous TV preacher. He never argued, never debated. He said, you must go back. And he reminded me of the things that he has done for me. And like you said, when I was healed of cancer back in 1979, I got saved in 1971. He saved my soul, filled with the Holy Spirit, but my flesh had been through so much that I was snorting cocaine, and that cocaine caused the lining in my nose to be burnt out. And the doctor told me that years ago when you were snorting so much of that cocaine that it caused the inside of your nose, your sinus cavity, to develop cancer. I went and I told my pastor, and this pastor, my pastor's wife, and I was so afraid. I've never faced cancer before. And he said, don't worry. God is going to heal you to use this for an extra testimony. And I told the pastor's wife, a little comical, I said, don't I have enough testimonies already? I don't need any more. I'm doing fine, I'm full, man. I don't need any more testimonies. But she said, no, God's not only delivered you from witchcraft and sorcery and voodoo, but you're also going to have a testimony of healing. I said, well, so be it then. He said, we're going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. We're going to rebuke this spirit of cancer, because cancer is a spirit. It's a condition and disease too, but also it is a spirit behind cancer, a spirit behind it. And that spirit knows it's a spirit. It knows it's there, but it don't want the body of Christ to know. And they laid hands on me, and they said, you spirit of cancer has attacked his body. You go right now in the name of Jesus. And all the elders at the church laid hands on me. and that thing broke from me. I felt it when it left my body. I felt it. It left. I went to the doctor, and they were going to give me the first shot of chemotherapy to try to combat this cancer. And they did a CAT scan on me. They went all the way around my head. They brought back the before picture and the after picture. The before picture, the inside of my sinus cavity was eaten away. It looked like, oh, look, it's horrible looking. It was terrible. My bone was just eaten all away. It was just horrible. But when they brought the after picture, oh, glory, hallelujah, it was like smooth, brand new bone and everything. The doctors were amazed, he said. I'm your doctor. I diagnose you. I know what I saw. I treated you. They gave me 40 different types of pills every day. I was taking 40 different types of pills every day. They were trying everything. Bless their heart. They were trying everything to keep me alive. They wouldn't give up. They say, try this, try that, try this. I was taking 40, not 40, but 40 different types of pills. And nothing was working. I was hemorrhaging at the head and the mouth every day, blood coming out there, the packing with galls. But oh, when God got to healing me, oh glory. Hallelujah. God healed me. Even to this day, doctors are amazed. All of those doctors. Because when God does something, he does it well. Hallelujah. He does it well. And back to the paradise, God says, I'm going to use you with this testimony. You got to go back. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go back. This place is so beautiful. I want to stay here with you. No more suffering. You know all what I've been through. You know the headache that I've been through. You know the hurt and the pain. You know that God, you think people don't listen to you. They really don't listen to me a lot of times because I preach a lot of deliverance. I preach salvation. I preach healing. But I do a lot of deliverance. And they don't want to hear that. God, let me stay. He said, no, you have to go back. And he sent me back with a warning, and I've been telling this all over the place. Again, if you got something that you're holding against God, because God hasn't moved as fast as you wanted him to, take that unforgiveness against the Lord and Savior. Because if you don't have God on your side, you sure don't want the other team on your side, because they can't help you. They'll make you worse. Blessed be the God that I have written this book, Bound to Lose, Destined to Win. Because I was, according to the world, I was bound to lose. But God has made me destined to win. And I bless him for it. I bless him. I thank him. The best is yet to come. And if you're out there right now, if you have anything against God, let it go. If you have committed abortion, or if you're a man and you caused your wife or your girlfriend, or whatever it is that you call her to you, to commit this horrible act of murder. That's what it is. You need to repent. Right now, stop whatever you're doing. You hear this broadcast, repent. You are guilty, and that thing is not closed. That door is still open. You gotta realize, unless you repent, that door is still open. Time will not make this go away. You cannot think time is going to heal. Somebody said time heals everything. No, it doesn't. Time doesn't heal everything. God heals everything. There's some things that time won't heal. It won't. Time won't heal leukemia. Time won't heal on diseases. Only God will heal it. If you've done this, you need to repent. God loves you. He's not going to throw you away. You come and he said, I want in no wise cast out. If you go to God and say, God, I've done a horrible thing. I've robbed you of this life. God, I want you to forgive me. He will. He will, for real, he will. He will go to you where he finds you at, and he'll forgive you. He'll wipe your slate clean. He'll put a smile back on your face on the inside. Were you crying out to God right now? Some of you are crying out to God. God, I can't. I know I hear what earthquakes say, but God, that was a horrible thing that I've done. I don't know how you forgive me. If I was me, I wouldn't forgive me. But God's not like man. He's not. If you come to him, you say, you know what? God, just like the earthquake's dad tried to get rid of him, God, I tried to get rid of many of them. And I never asked you to forgive me. And if you're here listening, you ask God to forgive you, he will not cast you out. That thing is going to burn inside of you forever until you deal with it. You got to deal with it and deal with it right now. If you want to see paradise, you want to see God's face and peace, you want to go forth and enjoy life, you need to get these things out of there. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. He's not leaving any other country. If you don't submit to God, you can resist him to the cows come home. Now, if you don't submit to God first, it's going to be very hard to get that thing to work all the way according to God says, because he said, submit to him first. You got to submit that way to him. Submit it to him. Say, God, you know what? Yeah, I messed up. I did a horrible thing. I want you to forgive me. If you can forgive this guy, Earthquake, who's done a horrible thing, horrible, I know you can forgive me for the things I've done. And you healed his body. I'm here. I got cancers to riddle throughout all my body. If you healed his body, you can heal mine. There's somebody out there right now that's dealing with this. Dealing with it. Put your hand wherever that they hear the doctor say you got cancer in your back, your backbone, wherever it is supposed to be, your heart, liver, leg, trying to amputate parts of your body. I believe God is a healer. Come on. Put your hand right now. Let's pray. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal that part of that body. Father, you said by your stripes we were healed. And your body of Christ, God, body, who's suffering these ailments and diseases came from the pits of hell. God, I don't see nowhere in the Bible, Father, where you put cancer on somebody, on your people. And I know what I do. I love you. Let me put some cancer on you. That's not you, God. It comes from the enemy's camp. God, we want to send that back to them where it came from. God, you see the people with their hands on their head, God, on their back, on their knees, their legs. Father, in the name of Jesus, even those that's got diabetes, God, save them, heal them, fill them, Father, give them knowledge of how to eat right, God. A lot of that's diet-related. Some of it's diet-related, God. Bless them, Father, to eat better. Get in better shape, God. Cut out the wrong things and put in the right things in our diets, God. The enemy trying to kill us with our fork. Can't get us to smoke weed no more. Can't get us to shoot heroin. Can't get some of us to go into bed with somebody we're not married to. But he's killing us with our fork, Father. And I know it sounds comical, but it ain't funny. He's killing us with our fork. And Father, don't let our fork be a slow death for us. Help us, Father, to find out the right things to eat. Help us, Lord, to not to put those things inside of us that will cause us to die early. God, come against all of these things, all of these sweets and candies and all of these things that clog up our arteries, God, so we can go to an early grave at 45 and 50 years old when we still had more living and more giving to do. Help us, God. Many of us in the church are not even thinking about our diets. God, you want us to live a long life. Prosper, you said in the third John 3:1, to prosper, be in health, even as our soul prospers. You think you healed me of cancer. You healed me of cancer two times, even 1990, after a car accident, head-on car accident. Seatbelt kept me from going through the windshield, but it jacked me so hard, it messed up my neck, and it caused a tumor, and from the tumor went into cancer. And the doctor told me, he said, we can't amputate your neck. It was an arm, we can cut it off, but we can't cut your neck off. There, I went back to the body of Christ again, hallelujah, and praise. And there I was again, face to face. And then now this time, this cancer is no fault of my own. I had nothing to do with this. I didn't go out there and say, let me run into the first person I can 50 miles an hour head on and see what happened. Maybe I can get some cancer out of it. No, I didn't do that. The enemy tried to destroy me, but it didn't work. He tried to take me out. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. God healed me again, and I'm using this as a testimony. Sure am. Using it as a testimony. Healed me twice. First time was my own doing before I got saved with the drugs. Second time, the lady ran a double yellow line, hit me head on. Seatbelt stopped me from going through the windshield, but it didn't do it much good at stopping a tumor from growing. But when a tumor stopped growing, God shrunk it down through prayer. Hallelujah. My God, and if some of you got a tumor growing right now, lay your hands wherever that is. I curse the very roots of that tumor in the body of your people, that it will shrink right now. Right now. Bob said he's taking them down right now. It may be size of a grapefruit. It's going down to the size of a lemon. It's going down to the size of a grape. It's going down to the size of a mustard seed, and it's going to disappear. Hallelujah. Guaranteed. God says so in his word that you shall be healed. By his stripes, all of that stuff is going to become manifest. We were healed, but then it's going to manifest itself in your body. God wants you saved, delivered, and set free. Oh, we bless you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, brother. I agree with you on that. The Lord's Amen. A healer. I'm quite sure people out there listening have exercised their faith and added it to yours, and
Amen.
They're seeing a miracle right now.
Amen. It works. My wife and I, we go and travel. There was a lady in Oklahoma, in Muskogee, Oklahoma, breast cancer, and prayed for her. Doctor gave her 6 months, and I came back there about a year or two later, and she said, "Earthquake, you don't remember me, do you?" I said, "Well, I see a lot of people all over the world, man. I'm so sorry." She said, "You prayed for us. You spoke against it. You know, you spoke, and you told that cancer, come out of there." And I went back to the doctor for my first examination, and it's all gone. He can't find no trace of it. Another time, there was a boy who was hemorrhaging in the hospital, the children's hospital out here in Los Angeles. Grandmother said, "I want my grandson to die." He did what the Bible said, called for the elders of the church, went there. We all kneeled around that bed. He was packed with galls. It was packed. And we rebuked that cancer. That boy healed, went to college, doing just fine now. Rebuke that spirit that's behind cancer. See, once that spirit is gone, that cancer dry up. Amen.
Amen. Well, Earthquake, you have a lot of people that don't believe that you really went to hell. You know, there's so many people out there, they don't believe in hell.
Yeah,
or
they don't believe. Some church folks don't believe in it.
Or they don't believe that that the devil's in hell tormenting people. Or they don't believe that hell is forever.
That's too bad.
You know, the devil really belittles hell, doesn't he? He really doesn't want us to believe that people are going to pay for a sinful life.
What a rude awakening they're going to have on Judgment Day. You know, that's the sad part about it. You can't discourage me by not believing it. Like the scripture says, if man doesn't believe in God, does that stop God from being God? Nope. Can I tell you something?
Yes, sir.
My science teacher taught me a lesson one time. We were at school, and I told him, he was getting ready to teach on germs and water. And I told him, you know, smart aleck little seventh grade year old, you know, where I was. And I said, there's no germs in the water. I mean, I drink water every day. He said, "Get the microscope, turn it on, get the slide, get a drop of water from the sink and put it underneath there." So I'm debating him all the way through. I said, "Man, there's no such thing here. There's no germs in water. I'm fine. Look at me. I don't feel any effect." So I did what he said, put it underneath there, turned the light off, put one eye on there, looked in there, and I saw these squiggly things walking around in that tap water. And he made a point right there. He said this. He said, "Just because you can't see something doesn't mean it's not there." And I never forgot that. So just because somebody, I have preachers out here, they said they're full gospel Pentecostal preachers, full gospel, they say. One in particular said it's utterly impossible for a person to die and go to hell and come back. He said it's impossible, no such thing. Well, that's your opinion, you know, if you believe that. You be it unto you, but when we stand before God, we're going to see which one is which. I don't got no problem with it. I'll debate you all day if you want to. I'll show you the scripture all day. For everyone that you say that's not in the Bible, I'll show you everyone that is there. But why should I? I don't have to prove anything to anybody. When you go to a hospital and you die in a hospital, and the doctors have to revive you, and you got 10 doctors, they all say that you died, you went somewhere. And when you take an overdose of drugs, and you're not saved, and you die, and you're definitely gone, and your friends can hover around you and try to revive you, and you don't come back, and you're not saved, you went somewhere. You didn't go to the mall. You didn't go to the moon. You didn't go to Chicago. You went somewhere. And so these people that demon-possessed trying to tell people there's no such a place as hell. Hell is not forever. You're only going to burn for a few minutes, and a merciful God won't put his people in hell. That stuff is a fallacy. There's some wrong in there when you're telling people only the half a truth. A half a truth really basically works out to be a whole lie. Because you tell people that there's no such thing as hell, they don't have to worry about it, do what you want. There's no absolutes. I feel all this kind of teaching. There's no absolutes. There's no this. There's no that. Do the golden rule and all those things. And all that's a doctrine of devils. The Bible says so. In these last days, we're going to have those kind of things. For us, who have been taught better and know better, don't let nobody stop you from believing what the Word of God says. We get into heaven, shun hell every way you can. Don't let nobody stop you from living right. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about. I was a sinner's sinner. Don't make no provision for the flesh to cause you to sin and get outside of God's mercy and his grace. Don't do it. Let them disbelieve if they must. But you hold fast to your profession that God has shown you. The devil's a liar. He's got people being tricked. We're in the last days. People are falling left and right. And God will raise up people like this broadcast, this great man of God here, to be on the air, to get souls saved. Because we need people to stand up. Anybody can go with the current, but it takes a good salmon to go against it. See, you got all kinds of fish out here. You got a flounder, all he does is lay around. You got a porpoise, they ain't got no purpose at all. You got electric eels, some of the things they do is most shocking. But it's very seldom you'll find a salmon that'll go against the demonic current to get up there and be a rebirth and let other life come forth. That's what God wants. He wanted to raise up some salmon that's willing to go against the current. Some people would rather compromise with the devil than go against him. I ain't going with them at all. I'm going against them. I know there's a hell, and I know there's a heaven. And there's people who are going to be glad that they believed in Jesus someday, and they're going to miss that trip to hell. Well, let nobody fool you. Apostle Paul would be highly upset if he saw some of the things going on today. If he was alive now, he would be highly upset. Needless to say how upset the Lord is. Brother, stand your ground. Stand firm. We're in the last days. If people are going to have itching ears going after these doctrine of devils, don't let them turn you. Don't let them. Let them say what they want to say. Stand your ground. Keep praying. Get into fasting. We fast and we pray at our church. It may seem old-fashioned. Some people say they don't take all that. But when these really last days start hitting the fan, when this stuff starts really unfolding, especially out here in California, they're changing laws around and doing certain things. It's making it very uncomfortable for us out here as Christians. Very uncomfortable when it hits the Bible Belt. And when it hits over there on the other side of the country, it's going to be very bad on us. Very bad, as one man said. We ought to bring back the Colosseum and the lions for these Christians. And they mean that, too, to throw us in the Colosseums and put us in there with the lion. How many of us would be willing to say, for God I live, for God I die. Do whatever you want to do to me. I'm going to stand my ground for Jesus. Jesus talked about the horrors of hell. He talked about the blessings of paradise. Don't let the devil fool you. He's a liar and a trickster. All he does is lie. So how do you know the devil is telling a lie? Every time he opens his mouth, it's a lie. The Bible says he's the father of lies. You stand your ground. You stand it. Don't let nobody tell you anything different. Watch God move. He loves you. He doesn't want to see any man perish. The Bible says so. You pick your own trip to eternity. The Bible says in the day that you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He said, there's going to be many that's going to stand before him in judgment day. He said, did we not cast out devils in your name? He's going to say, you sure did. Did we not heal the sick? Sure did. Me, raise a few dead folks. Sure did. He said, but you're going to have to depart from me, buddy, because you were a worker of iniquity. In other words, you had a hidden sin in your heart, and I never knew you. Never knew you. Spiritual intimacy, we had none. And there's many is going to be sad in that day. The Bible says many pastors are going to have blood on their hands, dripping blood, because they won't tell the people the truth. They tell them, do what you want to do. God is a merciful God. He's not going to put you in hell. You put yourself in hell, actually, by not doing what God says do. Don't listen to these ministers who are telling you this. Don't listen to them. Flee from them. God orders us to flee from them. They say, well, you didn't lead the church right. If a person's got your soul being lost, there's only one way to leave there, and that's to leave there. Get out of there as fast as you can. Don't allow nobody to cause you to go to hell. Don't allow anybody to cause you to believe that you can live any kind of way you want and stand before God and he accepts you into heaven. It's not so. Those are doctrine of the devil. I don't care how much money they got, how many cars they got, or airplanes, or whatever. If they're telling you things against the Bible, Paul said, let them be accursed. Don't listen to them. Repent. Stay right before God. Pray. Seek God. Fast. Read your word. Cry out to God. Cry out to him with all your heart. It's going to pay off. It's going to be rewarding. When these things that are coming upon America hit like they're really going to hit, you'll be so happy you fasted and prayed and didn't listen to these false pastors and prophets that are called themselves prophets. And Jesus said in the last days, false prophets and pastors will rise up. Well, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God. There's so many of them now are rising up, telling you if you don't have two chickens in every pot and two Rolls Royces in every yard, you're not saved. Those things are good. We need a nice car. We need good food. But don't base your salvation upon material things that only last for a while. Build your salvation on something that's strong. Don't build it on the sand. Don't listen to those kind of teachings telling you those things. Those things are from the doctrine of devils. I know I was into witchcraft. I know a devil when I see one. I know how they operate. Don't let them fool you. Stand the course with God. If you fall, get up. Paul said instantly, get back on your feet. Shake yourself. Don't let what the devil is doing stop. He's a liar trying to belittle hell. You stand up and shake it off in the name of Jesus. Shake it off. God wants to use you. You shake it off. Don't run with the crowd. Wide is the way to destruction, but narrow is the way. God has a narrow path, and there's a lot of people on that wide path that's going into destruction. But you stay on that narrow path that God has set forth. Stay on it. If you fall, repent. Shake it off. Don't allow stuff to stay, sit and settle in your head. Don't let it settle there. Don't let the outer band of snakes get around your head based on Joshua 16:5. Shake it off like Paul did when the snake came out of that fire and bit him in the arm. He shook it off and he felt no harm. Don't fall for the devil's tricks and traps. Don't be deterred by people who don't believe you. They didn't believe Jesus. Many of them didn't believe Jesus and walked away when he said, drink my blood and eat my flesh. Many said, oh, he must be a cannibal. They didn't understand it because they didn't look at it from the spiritual way. They thought Jesus was talking about cannibalism. He said he wasn't a cannibal. He was talking spiritually. And they couldn't understand, and they turned their head and walked away. In the day of Pentecost, he said, go and wait on me. Many of them, they didn't wait on God. They didn't get the indwelling of the Holy Ghost because they walked away. Didn't wait on God. And God did not bring me to all the things he brought me for me to allow a handful of so-called doubters and scoffers. And me being a person from the streets, the more you scoff at me, the more that sparks me to keep going. Hallelujah. I have to keep going because I'm saving somebody through the Holy Ghost. I can't save nobody, but I'm helping somebody to get closer to God by me pressing on. Press on. Somebody out there needs to hear this. You need to press on. Press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Press on. Don't let these Mickey Mouse golfers who want to be making themselves their own kingdom down here on this earth, which is only for a while, don't let them get to you. You shake that off. You know what it took to get you saved. And you know what it's going to take to get you into glory. Stand still, as Moses told them when they was faced the great wall, the Red Sea, that good wall of that water was standing there. So stand still and see the deliverance of the salvation of the Lord, and you'll see who's going to win out. These that are scoffing, these that are making fun of us who are out here in the front line telling us it's not that serious. They don't take all that. Are those that are standing firm, gritting your teeth, got your spiritual fist balled up, got your Bible in your heart and in your hand. Those are the ones that God is crying out for. Hold on. Doesn't matter what somebody say. Doesn't matter. People are always going to doubt. They told Columbus that the world was flat. Didn't stop him. They told the Wright brothers he couldn't fly. They told Martin Luther King he couldn't speak. He went on and spoke anyway. And the mall there in Washington, D.C. was filled with people. See, they told him not to speak. He did it anyway. And because of that, this world and America was changed around for the better. It's not perfect, but it's just better than what it was at first. So let nobody stop you. I'm encouraging you out there who are just like me. There's others out there like me that know that God's got a call on you. These are the last of the last days. This is serious crunch time. Don't let nobody stop you. You're going to be so happy that you stood. You're going to be so happy when you're walking on that pavement, which is golden streets. You're going to be so happy that you stayed and you didn't fall for the doctrine of the demon, because that's what they are. And I know a demon when I see one. I've seen many of them. I listen to them talk. I've heard religious spirits growing up. And you can't deter me. I know what I'm doing. I know there's a hell. I laugh at you in the name of Jesus. You ain't going to get nobody in my family, because my family believes that there is one, and they're going to continue to get others saved. And I know there's others out there that feel the same way I feel, that through the love of God, you don't want to see nobody lost. Nobody. It ain't worth going to a horrible place. God, there's so many people that missed out on heaven. And you ain't going to, the devil's not going to deter me. I know what's there. And I pray for those that they repent. Stop preaching this mess. Go back and preaching what they were taught in the first place. If they were taught anything good, some of them may not have been taught, and maybe they were taught that 25, 30 years ago as some type of cult type teaching. But it's worse now. It's worse. You got famous so-called ministers. God told me that they were so-called ministers. You don't call them ministers. He said so-called, because they're not really of him. You got Jesus, but then you got Bar Jesus in the Bible, Bar-Jesus, which was a completely opposite of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you got a lot of preachers, and you got bar preachers out there, bar preachers who are barring the power, denying the power. Don't listen to them. The Bible said, turn a deaf ear to them, flee from them. Turn away from them. Stay on your hands and knees. Cry out to God. Don't let this judgment catch you unawares, like the Bible says. Keep your lamp trimmed. Keep your fire burning. Don't be like the five unwise virgins. When the Lord comes, they weren't ready. They're stuck in darkness. Don't let these people stop you. Rebuke them. If they come against you like that, just pray for them and move on, but don't let them get in your head. Don't put a sign over your forehead and say, not for rent. Don't let nobody rent no space in your head. See, my head is not for rent, not for space. This is the Lord. And you cannot lease my head on my mind or rent no space in it. And you sure can't squat on my brain in the name of Jesus. There won't be no squatters here. Stand firm. Stand firm. I'm encouraging you out there. Stand strong. Stand on the word. The Bible says, so if some don't believe, you keep on going anyway. He has a remnant out there that want to hear the word. He has a group out there that's crying out for the truth, crying out for it. Just because they're on TV don't make them real. Get to know God for yourself. Amen. Amen. Just don't take my word for it on either. get in the Word and find out if the Word matches what I'm saying here on this radio.
And we got about 1 minute, so I'm going to just share one thing with the brethren here about Earthquake Kelly here. Remember his book, Bound to Lose, Destined to Win. You can either get it from his site, Earthquake Kelly, that's K-E-L-L-E-Y, earthquakekellyministries.org, or those of you that don't have an internet connection, you can go to Post Office Box 2181, Hollywood, California, 90078.
Right.
And thank you so much, brother, for joining us and sharing that good word and good testimony.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for your mother's prayer so you could come and do that for us, right?
Oh, bless you so much. And continue to pray for us. And I know you got great listeners out there. And God just bless everyone that hears, everywhere you are.
Amen.